I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's hard to know when you start, isn't it? Because sometimes we start immediately because Leanne cheats and she doesn't tell us that it's on, and then it's on, isn't it? And then we're like, oh, I didn't realise that was on until it's on, and then it's in the podcast. And you think, oh, I really wish I hadn't. But Maureen wishes she hadn't brought up that COVID test up the bum.
No, if anything, Maureen's like, let's go back into detail. So.
I really wish I hadn't talked about that anal COVID test. Mind if I just put a swab up your bottom? And relax, relax, Maureen.
It's like that when they do smooth tests. And relax. You go, yeah, I always relax when a metal instrument is approaching my nether regions.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Okay, before we start the show, we'd like to thank our latest Patreon. Thanks, Emily. Hopefully see you soon. And thank you for being our latest Patreon.
Thank you, Emily.
And just a quick reminder that we do have another fantastic WTB New Material Night coming up on Monday, May 3rd. It will be the three of us, and our two fantastic guests will be Sarah Barron and Sally Ann Hayward. So join us, 8 o'clock tickets. The link is on our Facebook page. You will find it there.
I can't believe we're talking about cervical smears, but you started it, Maureen. Just on that note, is... I went for a smear years ago and the nurse got really cross with me. She went, why didn't you tell me that your cervix was around the corner? I said, I'll be honest with you, I had no idea. She said, well, I've been looking for it for ages. I said, I know. I'm very well aware that you've been rummaging there for a while. And she said, and it's around the corner. So the next time you go and get your cervical smear, could you tell them that it's at 11 o'clock? And I was like, yeah, sure. So that's...
How would you know that? That's ludicrous. I remember once I went for one and the nurse was, she wasn't getting anywhere. And she went, I'll just get a smaller one. I thought, well, what did you do? Look at me and go, better get industrial size. It was like, what the hell? She'd go and get a smaller one.
Also, they always make some comment about your sex life, don't they?
Do they?
Well, they do about mine.
I feel very left out. I feel like they're just assuming there's no action in my world. They're like, let's not even bring it up.
And are you having sexual intercourse regularly? And you're like, nope.
I'm in a long-term relationship. Thank you very much.
Not the way you're imagining it. No, there's never any concept that you might be gay. They never sort of go, and your partner might. I mean, I was like, you know, the haircut's a clue. The partner. How is your husband? I'm not married. It's not a man. Can we? What?
His dick is shaped like fingers, so it's not a real dick.
Alison!
We were once at the Bronte Museum, and because we could get cheaper tickets because Chloe was a member, but the guy couldn't get his head around the fact that Jen's partner was a woman, wasn't it? It was quite funny. He was being very nice, but it was obviously a bit of a problem for him.
He said, have you got a partner? And I said, yes. He said, oh, great. Well, then when you sign up, then your partner, when he comes, it will be free. And I said, she. And he went, I'm sorry. And I said, she. And he went, when he. And I said, no, she, when she.
And he went, oh, of course, absolutely, absolutely, of course, that's absolutely, I mean, write whatever you want. I mean, that's absolutely fine. I mean, yep. And he went on and kept talking.
I think he felt really embarrassed because I think he felt he'd been out of step, maybe, I suppose.
Well, he'd corrected me. That's why. He went, he. And I went, no, she. Yeah,
she.
Of course, that sort of thing's happening these days, I imagine. I mean, I
down south, that's where you all are.
Actually, no, I don't know if you've been to Manchester. I think the concept just really blew his brain and he didn't quite know what to do. And I didn't feel like he was about to give me some sort of homophobic slur. I think
no,
if anything, he was like, how does one talk to a lesbian?
I
have heard of you people, that you are alive in the country, but I did not know that you could be in front of me.
So funny. You're like, actually, buddy, you probably talk to a lot more than you're aware of.
I mean, we're in the home of the Brontes. I mean, this is basically like a place for lesbians. I mean, this is like where we go on a full moon. Anyway, how has everyone been?
Well, Jen, I have to say a big thank you because I got a surprise present yesterday from Jen Brister, didn't I, Jen?
You did, Maureen Younger, and I'm such a wonderful person.
You are. I was like, got this box. Well, it was not for me. Got to bring this in for the neighbours. And I went, oh, it is for me. Got a box of saucepans and frying pans, really nice ones.
I'm aware that you're doing lots of cooking, Maureen, for your new lifestyle change. But I am also aware of what you're cooking on. And I thought, do you know what? Maureen had a conversation with me about something made of butternut squash. And I thought, do you know what? Let's do something about this.
Because it went brown. And I wasn't sure if that was because of I hadn't cleaned the pan or not. But I think we think it's now it's because I put beef stock in it by mistake.
Yeah, that was actually what it turned out. Because that's the natural ingredient that goes in a vegetable dish is beef.
And also I've been doing, as you may have noticed, I've been doing some little mini videos like of me and the as the Spice Girls.
It's really upsetting, Maureen, actually. The Wonder Woman one really sent me into a tailspin. But you as one of the Spice Girls, and as all of the Spice Girls, that sent me over the edge. I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm out of this. And in fact, I wrote on your Instagram page, I don't like it.
Well, ladies, you're going to be pleased to know I've done a special one for WTB. I'm not going to say what it is, but WP can put it out, and it's us as a threesome.
Hang on, easy. Oh, as a threesome, not having
a threesome. I also did one of me and Jen as the Golden Girls.
To be honest, the angle of it made me look like I had a triangular face, so it didn't really work.
And a monobrow.
Maureen, were you Sophia?
No, I was the Blanche, and Jen was Bea.
B.
Bea, whatever her name is.
B?
Yeah.
Yeah, not Bea. B. You know that character in The Golden Girls, Bea. What? There's Blanche B and Blanche Dubois, Rose.
Rose, that's what I'm thinking of, Rose.
Oh, no, Rose. I was Rose. Who was the one? Betty White one. I was the Betty White character.
I think you'd do a good Blanche, actually. Actually, I think Leanne could be Blanche. So Leanne is Blanche. I'll be B. You are definitely Rose, Maureen. And Alison, it doesn't really fit.
Guess I'm Sophia. Sicily, 1962. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I think the actor that played Sophia wasn't that far off the age of all the other women. It's a bit like the guy that played Frasier's dad.
Or the guy that played Jim Rockford, if you remember the Rockford Files. He was just a couple of years older than James Garner. I'm probably showing my age here. Look at you all shaking your head going, what were the Rockford Files?
That's a show from the 70s, Maureen.
It was fantastic. James Garner.
My mum loved the Rockford Files. I think it's because she fancied James Garner. Another topical reference there. Yeah. The Rockford Files. Crying out loud. Alison, what have you been doing?
I don't know if you guys saw or not, but I put a social media, because I'm trying, guys. I'm trying to get active on the social media for us all. I put up a picture of when I went for a walk with Danny and my dog didn't make the walk. And so we have a little puppy backpack, a little rucksack with a little hole so his head can come out of it. And he sits on the front so he can look where we're going. I now carry my dog in a rucksack. I also have a doggy water bottle, which whoever invented that has to be a millionaire, because that is the smartest thing I've ever seen. It's literally a water bottle, and then you just push the button, and it's got a little bowl at the end of it instead of like how we drink. And so the dog just has a little drink of water. So I travel with a doggy water bottle and a rucksack now.
Alison, I think you are an incredible dog parent.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say mummy because that's weird. You are an incredible dog parent. You really look after Bear. Bear is spoilt, if I may say. That's not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm just loving hearing about all of these all of these gadgets and these accessories that you can purchase for your dog to make your dog's life easier, but also your life easier. Who wants a dehydrated Pomeranian hanging around, struggling to get through the day? Nobody. And you have found a way to ensure that your dog is hydrated, that your dog does, if it gets tired, is looked after. Because, you know, in this country, we love animals. I don't think we can emphasize that enough. We love animals more than we love human beings. There are British people listening to this podcast going, this all sounds absolutely on the money to me. Maureen, obviously, we can't include in that because she's unable to care for herself. So don't expect her to look after another thing. That is fallen on my shoulders. But I congratulate you. Well done. When you look at your dog thriving, do you feel good?
It feels good when people are like, oh my God, he's beautiful. Look at that coat. And I'm like, well, we do a brush every night and we add in some conditioner. I found a really good product. And so it does feel good because people are like, oh my God, he's beautiful. And I'm like, go on. Go on.
I mean, your dog's hair is nearly as glossy as yours.
I know.
We're going to have to liven this shit up soon, guys, because somebody better have something.
What are you talking about?
Did anyone go clubbing and stick, what was it? What was it? Stick a vodka tampon up?
Yeah.
Okay, Alison, before we started recording this, was telling us about how back in the day.
I will say this. I have not tried this project myself. It was a friend of mine. She used to put tampons in vodka and then put them up her woo-ha because we were saying before her woo-ha, her woo-hoo, her daisy, her vagine, because Leanne, our producer, was saying that people used to put pills up their rear. So I was like, oh, my God. Well, you know, in Canada, we were a bit behind, just vodka-soaked tampons up the old. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
What we did when we were young, guys. And here I am. That's probably why I'm giving a dog a water bottle now. That's what happens.
I mean, I love that people were stuffing things up their orifices and achieving ecstasy or whatever it is that they're achieving or just inebriation. Can you imagine? Because it's quite hard. Sometimes even now, even though I've been drinking for many years, I kind of sometimes just miss that point where I go, actually, I've now had too much to drink and I'm full of regret. But if you're shoving a tampon up your who knew, your hoo-ha, your woo-hoo, your daisy, your noo-noo, whatever you want to call it, your vag-ola, how can you possibly know? You're like, I mean, who's having that conversation? How many tampons are you having up tonight? I think I'm a 3-tampon girl. Oh, can I do one? I can only do one tampon, otherwise I'm absolutely bad-faced.
Jen, tell us what you've been doing this week. What have you been putting in your holes? That's what I want to know. What's been going on with you?
As you know, I've been very athletic this week. I've been kayaking. I said I've been kayaking. That sounds like I've been every day. I've been out on a boat. I went it once. I went kayaking at the weekend. And it was very tiring, actually. Went out for an hour and I thought I was going to love it. And I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't like, wow, I really want to do that again. I was like, oh, that's a nice experience that I have done now. Good. Glad that's over. It's inexpensive. It's really good for your core muscles, by the way. It really worked out my core. And it would be a very good way of keeping fit because I was absolutely shattered at the end of it. It just seems like a right ball ache. I mean, I have to put all this shit on and then take a boat out. You've got to carry the boat. Then you've got to clean the boat out afterwards and you've got to empty your stuff. And then you've got to be. I just thought, you know what? The way I just go in for a swim and it's, do you know what I mean? That seems easy. And the whole time I was on the water, I kept thinking, I really want to be in the water because it was such a beautiful, beautiful day. And the water looks so blue and clear and yum. I was like, oh, I'd rather be swimming. So I did. I went for a swim afterwards. And do you know what? I enjoyed it a lot more than the kayaking. But while I was out there, I thought, this is Maureen's idea of hell.
I would have been at the coffee shop watching you. I would not have gone in the boat.
Sometimes, Maureen, you frustrate me more than others. I can go for weeks or months and you don't frustrate me at all. But today, you're sending me into a tailspin.
Jen, do you want to introduce the next section?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do this. Come on, it's time to find out what your Maureen moment is.
Look, I'm going to close my internet.
Don't close your internet, Maureen.
I meant my email.
Maureen switches it off at the wall.
I'm putting makeup on.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Maureen, it's a podcast. Get a grip. We might have to push your boundaries out a bit, okay?
Haworth, and there's a steam train line nearby. So I was there with Jen and her mum, and we got on the train. We didn't realise, like, 50 years celebrating. And I kept saying to Jen, oh, my God, look at all these train spotters. Because, honestly, the whole way we went, there was just train spotters all along the line. And Jen kept pulling faces at me and kind of looking at me in a strange way. And I was, what's the matter?
We're on this old train. There's some massive anniversary about this steam train that's been, I don't know how many years it is. We get on the train, and on every side of this train, you can just see men with notepads taking notes and looking at the train and being, oh, this is fucking great, trains. Whoa. Maureen is sat on the train going, oh, look at the state of that. It's tragic. She did. She says, look at all these men just standing around looking at a train. Flipping heck. I mean, who does that? Well, they do. Who does that? How boring. Can you imagine, Jen? Can you imagine? I'm like this with my eyes. My eyes are getting wider going, oh, Maureen. Can you imagine just standing around looking at the whole time Maureen was doing that with her eyes like that. And then we get to the end of the train line. Maureen's like, why were you doing that with your eyes? I said, Maureen, in that train were train spotters. We were basically on a carriage full of men that love train spotting. And you were just going, what are the stupid men with their bloody pads? Looking at, what kind of losers do that? The man sat next to you, Maureen.
And I went, oh, well, that's why you were, because she kept looking at me and kind of winking and everything. I said, oh, that's why you were pulling your face. Because I didn't realise why she, I thought, why is Jen keep pulling her face at me? Because she's trying to get me to shut up.
Because these men were looking gradually more and more sort of deflated. As you were like basically insulting them. Oh, these losers. That we are currently surrounded by.
I would love to know what was going on in the minds of each man on that carriage right now. They were writing some pretty severe notes, I'm sure, Maureen. I'd like to hit her with a 1972 steam engine. Sorry, I don't even know anything about trains for all of our train listeners.
I mean, no, neither do I, to be honest. But it was evident that they were part of that team. And were just enjoying the ride. I was like, read the room, Maureen. Read the fucking room.
She MCs most of the time. She's great at reading a room, but she's not working. She's not fucking working on a train. Get ready, gentlemen. You're about to be ripped apart.
I was like, look around you more. The compartment's full. I was like, oh, yeah.
In hindsight, I enjoyed it, but at the time, it was excruciating. Well, that was actually a very good Bieber morning, and I'd forgotten about that. Well done. We peaked. But we haven't peaked, have we? Of course not, because now it's time to head over to the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. Well, certainly on my screen. I don't know why I even ever mentioned that. It's irrelevant. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Okay, this is a problem, and I think this is I was into this because I can kind of relate. How do I tell my religious parents I'm an atheist? And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. My mom was religious and my father was not. So I had the best of both worlds. So I could pick and choose when I wanted to touch in and when I was out. But it is hard. It is hard. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, because I remember when I told my mom I wanted to stop going to church. And, you know, she tried. She was like, oh, are you sure? Like, because for the last 2 years, she would always bribe me by saying she would take me to McDonald's afterwards. So that's when you know your relationship with God is at its peak. When chicken McNuggets is what's keeping you there. So eventually I had to break the news. She took it okay. She saved a fortune on McDonald's. But this is serious and it's really hard, especially if you are in a very religious household. So first thing I want you to remember is that it's not going to be one conversation and it's over with. Okay, number one. So this is the sort of topic that will take some time. So be gentle when you start the communication into this and stay open. So, you know, because your parents may take this as a bit of rejection of them because these are their core beliefs. This is what they feel. So if you're saying, I don't believe this, they might take it like you don't agree with them. So remember that. So be very gentle and loving. Maybe also like when you're beginning these discussions, really let them know that like, you love them and you appreciate them, and this is not about them. So these are topics that you can kind of go into the discussion with. Let them know you've thought about it for a long time, okay? So people don't think it's all willy-nilly and that they can change your mind, right? Oh, well, did I? Let them know, look, I've thought about this. It has been some time. I've looked into this. And be confident in what you're saying. All right. So they don't, because they're going to try. But if you just say, look, this is not a whim. I've made the decision. This is how I feel about these things. That's something that needs to be done. I would even say write out ahead of time, maybe script a little bit of what you want to say, because in the moment, discussions like this can get overwhelmed. So I'm always a big fan of this. And you could do it something like, I'm still focusing on being a good person. I just no longer want to follow any set doctrine, but I rather want to explore myself and continue on this journey of being my best self for you guys. Let them know that, all right? So that's kind of a nice way to kind of phrase it gently. It may provide your parents with a bit of comfort if they are reminded that a lot of spiritual people sometimes stray away from things to find their own path and journey, and they might just back off a little bit if they think you're just, you know, you're not going to change your mind. But again, we're easing them into this. So a lot of people go off on their own path to figure things out. It is their foundation. So also when you're saying you don't believe what they believe, you know, you can't strip away. It's like you can't say to them, just being gentle about that, I think, is the main thing. The other thing I want to say is before maybe you have this conversation, find a friend, maybe a support group, so you have the people that you can talk to about this after it happens, so you get the support that you need. And I think that's about it. Just please remember to be gentle. This will be an ongoing thing. It won't be accepted right away. It may never fully be accepted, but you just want them to understand you still want to be a part of the family. You love them. You're just not into this doctrine. That's what I would say.
Thank you, Alison. And that's again, wonderful advice. It's very difficult, isn't it? And I think that thing that you said about it's a rejection of your parents, I think that's a big part of it, that it's rejecting their values, their beliefs. And then to say, do you know what? I don't believe that. That's a really big thing. And it can take a while for parents to come to terms, or for people to come to terms with the fact that you might not share that same sort of, not necessarily values. I mean, you can share the same values, but ultimately not want to use religion in order to seek, I don't know, community or solace. But a lot of those principles that we abide by or we adhere to could be considered core Christian values. They could be. You might say, do you know what? They existed before Christianity, blah, 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 whatever. But however you want to look at it, you could always kind of create those parallels. But that doesn't mean I don't share the same values as you. And that's the kind of conversations that you can have, where you go, I share the same values as you, I believe in the same morality as you, I just don't want to stand and sing The Lord is my shepherd.
And sorry to go back to it, but again, groups is really important. Finding a support network, because I'm also talking from this from a standpoint where it's like a bit more casual. There are some people where religion is the whole, that's it, you know, like that is family. That is what they do, everything. So that gets harder. Or even there are some belief systems like, okay, I'm not comparing it to this, but I do listen to a lot of podcasts about, I'm not saying religion is a cult for those of you who are religious, so ease up before I say this. I listen to a lot of things about people who leave groups where they have certain thoughts, and their whole world is shattered because they're discommunicated from family. Now, those are severe cases. So that's why I'm like, find support networks before you get into these kind of conversations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm coming at it from I was brought up Catholic. I don't want to go to church. That's very different to, you know, we come from a religion where it's culturally and, you know, within our family is so intertwined that one is, you know, family and religion are as one. That's completely different. And to those people, I would say, please don't listen to anything I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm to give it. But these are just some things to keep in mind.
But obviously, as three women that certainly have little or nothing to do with church, we may not be the people to ask. Alison, thank you very much.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
What is the show called? Oh, yeah, I've got it. Women Talking Bollocks, yeah. Okay. Is everyone happy with that? And now, I don't know, it's TV time, isn't it? Let's find out what we've all been watching on television. Oh, Maureen's perked up. Hello, Maureen. Yep. You sort of disappeared for a little while there because it wasn't about you. But now she's back again.
I've been watching old episodes of Would I Lie to You? It's the only comedy panel show I watch. I love it. Absolutely love it. I think Lee Mack and David Mitchell are fantastic captains. I particularly love it when Bob Mortimer's on. I just love Bob Mortimer. And you know what? When I'm down, I just watch a few clips from there and it don't half cheer me up. I don't know. Are you two fans of it?
I categorically dislike every panel show that's ever been created, primarily because I'm not on it. But I'm going to go ahead and say I do enjoy that one. I think it's really fun. I love, despite the fact that they're all white men, I'm going to have to say, we have to obviously prefix that. We have to acknowledge it, don't we, Warren, these days. But the fact that they're all middle-aged white men, they are brilliant. And I thoroughly enjoy watching them. I love Lee Mack.
Lee Mack's amazing, isn't he? He's just so quick. Can I recommend his first stand-up show at the Bloomsbury Theatre? You want to watch that? It is the gag rate per minute is amazing, and the ad-libs are just, you're in awe. So that's definitely worth it if you want to check out a comedy DVD.
Is Would I Lie to You still on now? Yes, it's still on. Because all I ever do is see the old episodes with Bob Mortimer, who I think has been my favorite, because Danny started showing me. Because we've never had Would I Lie to You. And can I say, I think it is one of my favorite panel shows that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know why it hasn't gone over to North America.
Has it not?
Never. I've never seen a show like that. Maybe I've missed it, but I've never seen a show like that in North America.
I mean, the premise of it, if you don't know, is that basically... there's a panel. There's three people on each panel, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the team leaders are David Mitchell and Lee Mack. And on that team, everyone has a story that they tell, and everyone else has to figure out if they're telling the truth or if it's a complete lie. And some of the stories, particularly Bob's, are so bonkers that you're like, absolutely no way any of this can be true. This is complete. And then you go, nope, true. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Bob, you have had the most bonkers life. But it's really, really fun, and it's really, really silly. And Rob Brydon hosts it, and he's the perfect host, irreverent, fun, silly, and he keeps it light, he keeps the pace going. No one's unkind or horrible to each other, and everyone just sort of gives each other space to talk. And yeah, it's great. I really like it, and I definitely recommend it as a panel show. I was being, you know, obviously being a facetious twat earlier.
We would all really love to be on Would I Lie to You?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, don't, no offence, guys, but don't hold your breath.
But that's great. I think David Mitchell and Lee Matt, they're just the perfect, they complement each other so well, don't they? Because they're so different.
Yes, they do. And they all look like they're mates, don't they? You can tell that they're all mates. And so that makes it really fun as well. And it's great to see loads of women on there.
I had to really bite my tongue. This last 5 minutes, I've really had to keep it in.
Yeah.
I take nothing away from the people that are on it. They're great. You guys are great. Anyway.
Let's open it up a little bit, shall we? And see if we can include some other people that don't have white men. You see if we can do that? Okay. Thank you, Maureen. That was a brilliant suggestion. I'm sure people are aware of it. And if they're not, check it out. There are loads of clips on YouTube, aren't there? I have been watching a movie, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It's called Sound of Metal. And it stars Riz Ahmed as a heavy metal drummer who is losing his hearing. And it's really, really, really fantastic film. It's been nominated for several Oscars. I think Riz Ahmed certainly has been nominated for Best Actor. And also, I think the sound design was also been nominated, because it's incredible what they've done with the sound to make you hear his journey of his hearing loss and what he can hear and how it gradually deteriorates until he can't hear anything. It's just, I'm not going to give anything away at all, but it's just this journey of this young man losing his hearing and how he copes with it and how he deals with it. I've got a few friends who've seen it who didn't like the ending. They thought the ending just was not good enough, but I actually like the ending. I thought the ending is, because it was literally just telling you a story of this man's life in this period. And then, of course, the film has to end because otherwise I'd still be watching it. I really cannot recommend it enough. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I thought Riz Ahmed's performance was outstanding. There's so much that's going on in his face. There's something about when actors are really able to articulate emotion and what's going on, because obviously in real life, that's not how we don't do that, do we? We're like, I'm going to let you know exactly how I'm feeling by doing certain things with my face, because people are like, what is happening to you? Are you unwell? Do you need a poo? So watching that, but obviously as an actor, you have to do that, because otherwise you're like, what the fuck's happening in this scene? He's dead behind the eyes. He's blank. So he does that perfectly. And all of the acting in it is brilliant. I mean, really, I think he was the only actor I recognised. I mean, there might be actors in there you go, oh, no, he's that person from such and such. But he was, for me, was the only one. So it felt like it was quite almost like an indie film. It's available on Amazon Prime if you are a Prime subscriber. And if you are, definitely watch it. It would have been amazing to watch it in the cinema. And it's such a shame that it won't get a cinema release, because it's certainly what they've done with the sound. If you're watching it on a big screen with all the speakers everywhere, with that surround sound, you would get such an incredible experience that you cannot possibly mimic on your television. But yeah, definitely recommend that.
And Alison, do tell us about the horror that is happening in your brain.
Yes, the horror that I've chosen for this week. Speaking of religious families, this one, it's newer. This is an absolute fantastic movie. It is called Red State. It was based off of the Westboro family. Unbelievable. So this movie was kind of based on it. Also based a little bit on David Koresh and that whole situation. So essentially what it is a very religious family. The movie starts off, they kind of put out ads to lure in young guys if they want to have like a threesome with a woman, like it's a, you know, and they get men in, and then the horror begins.
Just to let you know that Google starts the plot with three horny teenagers. How American are these names? Travis, Jared, and Billy Ray.
Yeah, you get an idea. It's Southern. Yeah, Billy Ray. Yeah.
Can't believe their luck when they meet a woman online who says she wants to hook up with all three of them at once, but the promise of sex is a trap, and the boys find themselves in the hands of Aben Cooper, a lunatic preacher who spews so much hatred that even neo-Nazis stay away. And that's when the horror begins, I imagine. John Goodman's in it.
Yeah, John Goodman is fantastic in it, because this is so, you see this movie and you're like, this is unbelievable. But it's not. It's amazing. I think it was a movie that was really, people didn't, it was just moved on from.
It looks absolutely awful in the way that it should be, because it's a
horror. Yeah. It's not cheesy. It's a great budget film. Like, it was made really well. It's a proper motion picture. It's not one of these little tiny, you know, B-rates that I'm trying to get people to watch.
Is it gory?
I wouldn't say it's really, really gory, but it's shocking. They do a good job of building more on terror and the fear of, like, the situation and what this could do and, like, the power of people in their belief or religion. It's terrifying that way. As far as gore, not so much. But there is one scene that is a little woo, but yeah.
I'm intrigued by it. And it's mainly because John Goodman's in it. And I love him. So I pretty much, if he's in something, I think, oh, I'll watch that because I like him so much.
And it's a real different character he kind of plays. It's a real different character because he plays like a sheriff. Like, he's one of the guys who gets called in. He's the negotiator. So he's the one who goes in to try to talk to the head of the church, you know, like they did with Koresh. Like, they had a negotiator. It's awesome. Yeah, it's really, I recommend that one. So Red State, that gives you a real perspective on that.
Okay, yeah. That looks great. Yeah. Alison, thank you very much. I actually think I might watch that. I don't know when, though. When can I watch it? Chloe doesn't like horror films, so I don't know if she wouldn't let me put one on.
When you're travelling, when you're gigging again.
I'll be in my car.
Oh, then don't watch it when you're gigging again.
No, I won't be. Yeah, just put it up on instead of the sat-nav. Just put Red State up. Do you know what? I bet you people do that. I'm sure they do. And long car drives, I'll just put that up on the corner. I tell you what George Egg does. And George Egg won't mind me saying this, is he takes his computer with him and he puts a DVD on or whatever on his computer, but just the sound, and he'll listen to the movie that he wants as he's driving. And I said, but you can't see it. And he goes, yeah, but you know, you still get the idea of the film while you're driving, because a lot of it's dialogue. And then when there's no dialogue, you can kind of feel the tension from the music, and so you kind of know what's happening. And I'm only playing movies I've seen before, so I know I can fill in the gaps. And he goes, and then I feel like I've watched the movie.
Well, I suppose it's like listening to the radio, though. It's like listening to a radio drama, isn't it, I suppose?
I guess it is. But also, if you know the film, then you're not like, oh, what happens in this bit? Anyway, I won't be watching Red State in the car. So just in case the DVLA are listening. Don't be daft. And now it's going to be Maureen's cultural corner. I haven't started it, Maureen.
Hello.
I'm going to start that again. Right, so now, what corner has been cultured by your corners, Maureen?
Hey, this time it's music. Obviously, we can't play any of the music for copyright reasons. But these are three guys that were kind of big 70s, 80s, late 70s, early 80s. First is Luther Vandross, who our producer Leanne and Jen are a big fan of. If you haven't heard of him, he was a really in-demand backing singer. And then he was like the lead singer for Change. I was playing their 12-inch earlier today. And then he did his own album, Never Too Much, debut album. And he was absolutely massive. Great songs, Never Too Much, Since I Lost My Baby, If Only For One Night, just name a few.
Give me the reason to want you back.
I just tweeted something that, from a concert, because he's not only had a great voice, but technically he was so skilled.
Oh, Sugar and Spice is such a great song.
Because he's also, I'm so in love with you.
Yeah.
She's a super lady. Is she though, Luther? Is she?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was listening to him on the radio once. He came on and I was singing away and then they rapped over him. I was really... How can you rap over Luther Vandross?
No one raps over Luther. Not in my watch.
Another thing I was thinking of from that period, I don't know if you're big fans, Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, yeah. What was his big, big hit? What was the big...
He had the Whole Town's Laughing at Me, Close the Door, Love TKO, Turn Off the Lights.
Oh, Turn Off the Lights. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic singer. And he was like a crossover. And they actually, because he was so popular with women of different races, they used to have actually concerts where only women would go. And then he had this horrific crash in the 80s. Apparently somebody played, he bought a new Rolls Royce and somebody fiddled with the brakes. So this massive crash on the freeway, he became a paraplegic and the guy next to him walked away from the crash without a scratch on him.
Oh, that's tragic.
Yeah, this really tragic life. But he was an absolutely fantastic singer. So check him out if you haven't heard him before. And you might not have heard of this guy, Bobby Caldwell.
I have heard of Bobby Caldwell, but I know the name, but I... If I heard a song, would I recognise it?
I don't know. There's a classic song called What You Won't Do For Love, which is like a massive big hit from the late 1970s. And he actually recorded with a record company that produced black music. But he was white. And so they hid the fact that he was white from the cover of the album, because they didn't want people to know he was a white guy, because people assumed he was black because for the record company and the music and the voice. And then when he went on tour, he was supporting Natalie Cole to a predominantly black audience. Everyone was in for a bit of a shock. And there's actually a really funny, I saw it on Twitter once, where you see this guy listening to, because at the beginning of the video, he's in shadow, so you don't see him. And then the guy he just assumed that he was a black singer. And then you see his reaction when he realises he's white. And it's actually quite a funny little clip. But that album, I mean, I've got friends who've got whole bedrooms full of vinyl. That's what people did in the 80s. And that his debut album is like something that everybody wants to get hold of. Like, it's really hard to find. So if anyone's got it, feel free to phone us on 555. No, you can get the electronic version, but you want the vinyl, don't you? What You Won't Do for Love, check it out. It's absolutely fantastic song. And yeah, I just found it funny that they actually, if you look at the cover of the album, they went to a great effort to hide the fact that he was a white guy.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like that I mean, that's one of the only occasions I know of in the that where like being white was a disadvantage. Well, fair enough. It's got to be at least one, for Christ's sake. Do you know what, Maureen? I quite like, maybe we should have an 80s soul weekender, late 70s, early 80s soul weekenders cultural corner for the next couple of weeks. Can we do another one next week? As I get older, I do find myself predominantly listening to 80s, 70s and 80s soul music.
But, you know, I mean, I think for me, they remind me of my youth. So that's why I enjoy listening to them. So like whenever I'm down, I play the Fatback Band, I Find Lovin', and it just always cheers me up.
Maureen, thank you very much for your corner that was cultured. Who'd want to be a Kardashian? That just seems grim. Can we stand by that, everyone? We are three quarters of the way through the show, but we are not at the end of the show because, of course, we have to go through the rigmarole of my bit.
Don't say that. Don't say it like that. We need you because we need to know what we can get our goats about. So, Jen, this week, what's got your goat?
I think it's primarily been me, but anyway.
Other than Maureen. Actually, Maureen hasn't gotten my goat this week at all, just today. I suppose the thing that's gotten my goat this week is... Look, I want to preface all of this by saying I have no interest in football.
And we will not be speaking about this regularly, can I say that?
I want people to just listening. No, I don't support any football teams. I don't watch football. I don't know anything about football. I used to know a bit about football because I just gleaned things from green rooms of men talking about football. And then I'd be like, suddenly I know who's at the top of the Premier League and why Crystal Palace might be going to be relegated or something. But that was, you know, years ago. Now I know even less. But this introduction of the Super League really made me very cross. It seems to go against everything that football is about. First and foremost, I understand football to be a sport that is for working class. It was traditionally a working class sport. It was a sport that was for families, a sport that was to be accessible to everyone, irrespective of, you know, what your so-called class is. It's supposed to be about the best team winning, not about who had the most money. And the very idea that all of these teams that have like so much money should create a super league where they can never, ever be relegated, where they can never, ever, ever lose money, where whether or not they make terrible decisions means that their team will always be on top, means that what is the point of sport? What is the point of football? What is the point of going to support your team if there's never any risk, or if there's never any like chance that your do you know what I mean? Or that there's no chance of your team entering the Super League because they don't have enough money, that they're permanently excluded from this league because their team aren't being funded by some billionaire flipping Russian. So the whole concept, again, what it creates is another two-tier system where certain players will be paid bazillions and other players get paid a lot less. I just find it absolutely appalling. And it is everything I hate about capitalism in one fucking package that has been created for sport. It's sport, you pricks. That's all it is. It's men kicking a fucking ball about.
It's not happening, is it? It's not going to happen now, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it?
No.
No, because a bunch of them came together and decided.
Your fans went mental. And I think, you know, because it's Americans, Chinese, I think, and the Saudi Arabians owners were behind it. And what I don't think they clicked is that how important football is to, like, Europeans and to Brits.
Culturally, not just... culturally, it's huge. You can't take it away from the fans.
Football fans weren't going for it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the scenes outside Chelsea last night.
They rioted. They burnt jerseys.
Great. Good for them.
But if you saw some of the, like, you know, I think they had Rashford.
Oh, he's always there, isn't he, Rashford? Good lad.
So you had like major, all the major footballers, football pundits, everyone was going, it's just not on. And also it's pointless because the whole thing about playing these big teams is that it happens like once a year. If you're doing it 12 times a year, who's going to go to these matches? It's not going to be of any interest to anybody.
It's just such a gross money grab.
It's like if you had the World Cup every year, it wouldn't be the World Cup anymore. The reason the World Cup is special is because it's every 4 years. And I think what they underestimated was how angry people would be. And so within 2 days, basically all six English teams have dropped out of it.
Well, this has made this bit redundant.
No, but it's not, because I think, you know, it is the fact you've got these billionaires who basically don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about the football. They just see it as a money-making machine. And that kind of sums up a lot of what's going on at the moment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just that with football, you know, the fans were like, we're not having this. And you can't have a game without fans.
Well, but that's what they said. They said, it doesn't matter what the fans think, we can still go ahead. But what they underestimated is that the clubs need fans. And so if the clubs don't have their fans, then they're like, we're out.
I mean, you had people who've been supporting that team for 100 odd years, whatever, their great-grandfather were going around.
How old are these football supporters?
But you know what I mean? They had like generations of like, it was like a family thing. And they were like, right, well, that's it. You know, you had Liverpudlian and Manchester United fans coming together. Do you know how difficult that is?
Coming together for the first time. Yeah.
Of course.
That would have been an impossible. You would have thought that's not possible. Chelsea fans, Man United fans, Liverpudlian fans, all singing from the same hymn sheet.
Well, that's good though, isn't it? That just shows that, you know, that's a bit of people power and action. And that just shows that you can make changes if you feel passionately enough about it. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we felt passionately enough about the NHS to do that? But this is a podcast sans politics, so we can't go into that. But we can.
And we're all politically neutral anyway, Jen, aren't
we? We're politically neutral.
We don't have any ideas either way.
We don't have any ideology or political allegiance. We are, as always, politically neutral. But the Tories are a bunch of scum bag cunts. Okay, good. So
that might get cut.
And fair enough, frankly.
No, our producer's like, no, absolutely not. Yeah, I love it.
Hey, listen, I've enjoyed today's podcast. It's been fun. We'll have to do this again.
How about next week?
Yeah, let's do it next week. Women Talking Bollocks. Thanks so much for listening. Please do continue to like and subscribe on our Acast page, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you enjoyed today's episode,
leave a wonderful message saying how much you enjoy our dulcet tones, particularly mine.
And we're also on Patreon now, so we're going to be sharing extra content and we'd love you to join us there.
Join us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.